You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Carl Jackson. Carl, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Dave. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for coming on. Carl, I got an email from either you or your organization, an article you had put together for the website, theconservativepundit.net, and
right.
I guess perhaps for your own website as well, which is carljacksonshow.com.
Correct.
And the headline of the article was Black Thugs Aren't Black Heroes. And I want to get into that in great detail in a moment, especially in light of what's about to happen in Ferguson, Missouri, or as you pointed out, it wasn't actually Ferguson. The actual grand jury decision is coming down from a different city, Clayton, Missouri, right?
Clayton, mm-hmm. Correct.
But before we do that, Carl, for the benefit of the listeners, can you give them a little bit of background about who you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm a Christian conservative American that happens to be black. I host my own radio show on Salem Communications, a local station here in Orlando, Florida. But I wasn't always a conservative. As a matter of fact, I was very liberal at one point in my life, and I was a thug. So you're speaking to someone that's been transformed by the grace of God. And so I think that I could speak to this situation in Ferguson, perhaps like not many black conservatives can, because I have a criminal record. It's not something that I'm proud of, but it's something that God has used to transition me, transform my mind, transform my thinking. And for me, it took going to jail and then having quote unquote white people share the love of Jesus Christ to me that totally changed my heart and changed my ways.
And you were born out on the left coast, right?
Yeah. I was originally born in Compton, California, primarily stumped the grounds of Long Beach and Linwood. So yeah, those were primarily my stumping grounds.
Okay. How old are you, Carl?
I'm currently 37.
Do you have a family?
Yes, I do. I'm married and I have a daughter.
Okay, great. And that radio station that you're on, is that a regular terrestrial radio station?
Yeah, AM 660, The Answer, right here in Orlando, Florida. Like I said, it's a Salem Communications affiliate.
Okay, and that's a Christian station, I would imagine?
Well, it's a conservative station.
Conservative. Okay, gotcha. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read the article here. Now, I'm going to go in a little higher speed, so I don't waste
okay.
your time. After I'm done with that, then I'd like to ask you some questions. So
sure.
You'll be doing the bulk of the talk, and as my listeners know, this is far and above more than I usually speak. Usually, my guests speak 95 to 99% of the time, which is the way it should be.
Okay.
So let me read this here. Black Thugs Aren't Black Heroes by Carl Jackson. If America wants to move beyond racism, we must first move past the Democrat Party. The black community is virtually void of American pride because we don't know our American history and we don't trust our God. Can you imagine a Mount Rushmore erected with the faces of black heroes of the past? Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, George Washington Carver, Jackie Robinson, Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King Jr., and Hiram Rhodes Revels, who was, as you mentioned here, the first black ever elected to Congress during Reconstruction. And there are just a few that come to mind. Now picture the faces of Michael Brown and Trayvon Martin, hoodie included, memorialized into that same mountaintop alongside any of the two above-mentioned heroes. You can't, can you? As America waits for the Clayton, Missouri grand jury to decide whether or not criminal charges will be brought against Officer Darren Wilson, I contend we should have never gotten to this point. As heart-wrenching as it is to witness any youth die too soon, Michael Brown's story should have never made it past the local news. In fact, if Officer Darren Wilson were either a black officer or a black thug, it wouldn't have. Liberals avoid nationalizing stories of blacks killing blacks because it doesn't fit their America is a racist country narrative. I can't help but to imagine how minority lives would be drastically changed for the better and even spared if media cameras were often turned away from white police officers and towards young black thugs. Perhaps it would begin a wave of introspection in the hood like never before. It's no coincidence that the flames of racial tension were set ablaze during the 2012 presidential campaign after the death of Trayvon Martin, and yet again for Michael Brown, who was killed on the eve of this year's midterms. Liberals, whether in the media or government, never let a good crisis go to waste. Unfortunately, it's the families and communities of the victims that are left behind that pay the price of the left's irresponsible race baiting long after the media has left the scene, and Democrats have driven another phony racist narrative in order to keep black voters mad and others divided. Apparently, it's acceptable to hold police officers in places like Ferguson, Missouri, accountable for the death of a black teen as long as the officer is white. But God forbid blacks are held accountable for all of the deaths that result from black-on-black crime in every major city around the country annually. This double standard has done more damage than good to the black community. Far too many blacks are incapable of distinguishing real black heroes from convenient black heroes. By today's standards, the names I began this article with would probably be considered sellouts, especially since all but one were Republicans. Yet these are the heroes most likely to inspire most of America's black youth still today. For whatever reason, the black community has but a handful of real heroes. As a result, we pay tribute to many people who don't deserve our praise or affirmation. It's not a noteworthy accomplishment to die due to one's own bad choices. There's nothing heroic about thugs and crime. Americans used to keep them in their rightful place, jail. Now we can find them plastered on our kids' bedroom walls. Once upon a time, morality and societal pressure brought about repentance, a change of heart and behavior in some criminal-minded individuals. Unfortunately, unwarranted and violent protests like that of Ferguson, Missouri, do nothing but enable and train our own black youths to disregard the rule of law rather than respect it. Michael Brown and Trayvon Martin weren't killed because they were black. They were killed because they made bad choices. Nothing halts economic prosperity and cultural evolution of a race like the belief that dreams and justice are unattainable simply because of one's skin color. Frankly, despite pockets of undeniable racism, we haven't lived in that America for nearly 150 years, perhaps 40 years in parts of the South. Blacks that pretend otherwise are complicit in the demise of their own people. Show me a young black male that has a good dad or a strong male role model and who can read, write, speak well, and has a good work ethic, and I'll show you someone who will succeed in life. Show me a black male who speaks as though English is his second language, knows the latest top 10 hits on the FM dial, every reality show star on MTV, BET, or ETV, and wears his pants under his butt, and I'll show you a young black angry male with little chance of success unless he makes it to the NBA, NFL, or as a hip-hop star. When I'm in the hood, I'm not concerned when I spot a police officer. I'm relieved. Law-abiding citizens typically don't have to worry about cops. Truth be known, black ladies clutch their purses in the hood too, and black men watch their backs. If there were more black heroes walking the streets of Ferguson, perhaps the protesters would be more concerned with extending their hands for a handshake rather than raising their hands to cops in surrender. Very nice. That's a really great article, Carl.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for writing it, you know, because there is a lot of racism out there. There's a lot of whites who don't like blacks. There's a lot of blacks who don't like whites. There's a lot of blacks who don't like blacks. There's a lot of whites who don't like whites. So there's racism all over the place. In fact, I saw a study that showed that blacks are even more racist against blacks than whites are racist against blacks. Of course, there's a lot of studies out there, but for whatever that's worth, there is racism. I know myself, I'm personally racist against black thugs. So I'm not racist against black. I'm racist because I know a black thug when I see it. Yeah, you can't judge a book by its cover. But like you said, if somebody's got their pants down to their knees and they got this attitude, most likely they're a black thug.
Well, Dave, let me say this. I'm not sure that that would be categorized as racist. I'm prejudiced against black thugs. I'm prejudiced against white, Latino, Asian thugs. I'm not certain about the polls, but I'm not convinced that America is this racist nation where there's all these racist people. Sure, there's pockets everywhere. I mean, I've experienced some racism. I've experienced some racism from whites. I've experienced some racism from Mexicans living in L.A. I've experienced a lot more racism from blacks, to be quite honest with you. So I do tend to believe that this whole notion that America is still this racist nation, overwhelmingly, I just don't buy into that narrative. Are people prejudiced? Absolutely. Man, I'm prejudiced. If I go to a white neighborhood at night and I'm walking the streets and stuff like that, I'm going to be a little bit on guard. I'm not ashamed to admit that. It's common sense. If I go to a largely Mexican neighborhood at night, I'm going to be on my guard. You know what? If I go to a black neighborhood at night, I'm going to be on my guard, and sometimes twice as much. And the dirty little secret, I'll use Charles Barkley's words, every black person knows it. This notion that when you walk through the hood or if you see white people walking through the hood, watch out, the ladies clutch their purse and the men watch their back. Well, the dirty little secret is black people do it too, because we instinctively know that blacks tend to be more violent in America. We know it because when you grow up in the hood, crime takes place a lot more in the hood than it does in the suburbs. This is common sense, in other words. To say it's racist, I don't know you. But having this conversation with you, you don't sound like a racist to me. Are you prejudiced against some things or some people, if you will, that perhaps would intimidate you? And yeah, you know, maybe, but I guess so am I. So I don't know that I would use as strong a word as racist, but I would definitely use the word prejudice. And the fact of the matter is, I mean, my dad is in his 70s. I have an uncle as well, who I love dearly, who's also edging up to the 70-year mark. And these are guys that experienced racism in America. These are guys that had real trials. But I don't have those same trials at 37 years old. And it's a fallacy to say otherwise. And I do believe that blacks do an injustice, or we do an injustice to ourselves, by pretending like this is the case. I've got approximately 2 years of college under my belt. That's as far as I went. I live in Orlando, Florida now. I witnessed a protest by black UCF students just a couple of months ago, or 90 days ago or so, whenever this Michael Brown shooting occurred, and it was like a hands-up rally and all this kind of nonsense. And they were decrying racism and all this kind of stuff, and I'm like, you little morons, you're still wet behind the ears. You haven't even lived through anything. I can't afford to go to a college that costs $50,000 a year. How is it that you're there and you're screaming racism? It doesn't make any sense to me. And it's sad, because what's happened is these little hippies from the 60s, whether black or white, are reliving this part of American history that no longer exists. But they perpetuate this madness in order to keep us divided. But honestly, that's what Democrats have to do. If you consider the Democrat Party, if you consider liberals or progressives or whatever you want to call them, in general, they have to keep us divided in order to succeed. If you look at the Republican platform, in order for Republicans to succeed, they have to help you achieve, whether it's monetarily, whether it's culturally, they have to help you achieve. But in order for Democrats to win, they have to convince you that you're nothing, that you can't go anywhere, that you can't accomplish anything. And I used to buy into this nonsense. I used to buy into growing up in L.A., and we would hear the little Jesse Jackson mantras that our teachers would tell us. But you know what? They never told me who Hiram Rose Revels was. I didn't know about those heroes. I didn't know about Reconstruction and the black congressmen. These are the heroes that I never knew about. I never knew that it was the Democrat Party that were the slave masters. I didn't know that it was the Democrat Party that started the KKK. I didn't know all these things. I didn't know that it was LBJ who took the credit for civil rights legislation after he and JFK alike had turned down the very legislation just a few years prior under Dwight Eisenhower. So this is the stuff that we're never taught. Now, Democrats have been able to co-opt the black community, and as a result, we can see that the black community is destroyed. In the 70s, the black community had the highest rate, percentage-wise, of marriage in the country, even above whites. Where are we today? We have over 70% of black children being born out of wedlock. It's absolutely ridiculous. And this happened virtually overnight, Dave. And of course, I'm being a little exaggerative, but it did happen in a decade or less, where once the welfare state kicked in under LBJ, and we already had trickles of it coming in under Franklin Roosevelt, but once the great society, if you will, came into play, well, it destroyed the black society, because now the black society, black culture, were looking at government as their god rather than our god. And the black race is the most religious race in America. It's hard to find blacks in the ghetto that don't believe in God. It's like atheists in foxholes, if you will. It's just hard to find them. But for some reason, we've got this notion that government looks out for us. But what we don't consider is the immorality of human nature, the sinful nature of man. So instead of looking at a man's character, like, honestly, if you did any quick research on President Obama before he came into office, you could see the Resco deal, the land deal that he did. You can see how he rose to prominence in the state legislature of Illinois by cheating. You can see this is how this man won his races. You could see that this was a man that lacks character. And the problem that blacks have is, instead of looking at a man's character, we just go for the party. Now, granted, I'm a conservative, so typically I vote Republican. However, if that Republican does not convince me that he's conservative enough, I will not vote for him. I don't care that he's a Republican. He has to promote the agenda that I feel is best for America according to Christ, Constitution, capitalism, and compassion. If that man can't do that, he doesn't get my vote. I'll never vote Democrat because I won't vote for the most racist party ever to inhabit the United States. But there are times where I won't vote for the Republican. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the bad guys in your article here. Now, of course, you're talking about the Democrats, and I know a lot of listeners who are hearing this right now couldn't agree with you more. But what about the media? Let's talk about the media, because the media here, I think, a lot more than the Democrats, is playing a game, and you mentioned that in your article. Why do you think they're doing that, and who is the media that's doing it? Is there a certain group of people that you think is responsible for this?
You know, truthfully, I believe the media, today's media, besides talk radio that I exist on and some conservative blogs and people like yourself, I believe that the media today is basically an arm of the DNC. That's really who they are. I mean, if you think about it, they've been trained, they've been taught by people like Jonathan Gruber, by people like Barack Obama in their ivory institutions. So this is who the media are. I've talked to several college students that have no idea. They've never heard of Reconstruction. They've never heard of our first black congressman. And these are people in Ivy League schools. I talked to a professor. I'm sorry, I didn't speak to a professor. But there was a black professor. I forget what Ivy League institution he taught at. This guy didn't know the black heroes that existed under Reconstruction. I mean, he didn't know about the Civil Rights Act, and don't quote me on the years, but literally the first Civil Rights Acts in America were during Reconstruction, I believe late 1860s, early 1870, the Anti-KKK Act, the Anti-Nebraska Act, all this kind of stuff. He was teaching history of some sort at an Ivy League institution. College today, I love Bill Bennett's book and David Willisaw's College Worth It, because there's a lot of colleges that are no longer worth it. And I would dare to say, especially these Ivy League institutions are no longer worth it. And unfortunately, what we have is a lot of, I believe, whites that have wrong information. I always say on my show, if you have the wrong information, you'll draw the wrong conclusions. And unfortunately, a lot of whites that are smart people. You know, I don't think liberals are bad necessarily, except their leaders. But a lot of smart people who have just gotten the wrong information, so they draw the wrong conclusions. So you see these people on the news, whether it be Rachel Maddow or leftists like that, Rosie O'Donnell, who have this sense of white guilt and have this sense of, hey, I want to help people out. I want to help the black community out. I want to help. But they're doing nothing but enabling poverty in the black community. That's all they do, by not empowering people with information, with the correct information, by not saying to people, hey, you can do it. You tell me, how is it that people like Frederick Douglass, George Washington Carver, Martin Luther King Jr. can rise to prominence in an age of America where it was very racist? How is it that they can rise to prominence during that time, yet we can tell blacks today, you can't do it? What kind of nonsense is that? I've experienced very little racism in my life, thank God. I can remember a couple of situations where I experienced clear, overt racism from whites. But like I said, I can count more times than that I've experienced it from Mexicans, which is an untold story in L.A., and also from blacks. The media is definitely a problem, but the cool thing is I still have this idea, and I'm an optimist in the sense that we the people still matter. So I feel like we can combat the media. Thank God for the citizen journalists. Thank God that we still have a ballot box. Unfortunately, the president is demolishing that with executive orders and all that kind of stuff and just kind of usurping and trying to nullify our votes. So I really disrespect the president for that. I believe he's done severe damage, not only to America, but to the black community. And he's getting ready to do it to the Latino community. Let's face it, this amnesty is nothing more than a new Negro vote. And this is what black people need to understand. There's always going to be a lower class people that the Democrats need in order to win votes. And if we're going to be realistic, if we're going to be honest, the black race is dying off at rapid proportion. If you just consider abortion and how many children we've lost, the fact that Planned Parenthood strategically places, I believe, over 70% of their clinics, and if I'm not mistaken, it's closer to 80% of their clinics in black and minority neighborhoods, strategically. And we, like dum-dums, go ahead and we kill our babies. So today, the black race should be approximately 25% of the vote were it not for Roe v. Wade. Instead, we're only 12%, and we're dying off. So the Democrats need the new Negro vote. And unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of uninformed Latinos that are going to be that new Negro vote. And of course, we have people crossing the border no longer in search for the American dream, but they're in search for the American handout. So America is in a spiral downward, unfortunately, but hopefully we can stop that.
Yeah, how though? That's the problem.
Consider this. Like I said, I'm a Christian conservative American that happens to be black. Christians got to get out to vote. The president can do this executive order for amnesty, but if we can wake up the people sitting next to us in the pew, we got to do that. You know, it's funny to me. I'll hear some conservatives say, we got to stop preaching to the choir. And I'm thinking, no, actually, you need to preach to the choir to make sure the choir gets their butts up and votes. And you need to preach to the people outside of the choir. So we got to do two things. We got to work twice as hard. But we don't stop preaching to the choir when the choir isn't convinced. We need to make sure that people get up and get out and vote in the local communities. You know, and Mark Levin has started that surge, so I thank God for him. Local elections, state elections, and our federal elections. We have to get people out to vote. And honestly, we can bypass the media. Look at what the media did this year. I mean, the media are always on the Democrat side. But look at what happened this year. Now, unfortunately, we don't have the greatest leaders in the Congress right now that understand that they were elected to fulfill some mandates. But we, the people, can still talk. We can talk through the ballot box. And so we just have to start making people a little more aware. And let's face it, amnesty is coming, not just because President Obama is lawless, but because the GOP were feckless when President Bush was in office, and he had primarily a GOP Congress. Let's face it, this is something that we shouldn't have to deal with today, because we should have had border sealed when we had the opportunity. So we have to take some of that as conservatives on our backs, you know, unfortunately. But I still think that we can reach out to people. We can reach out to blacks. I think that we can reach out to Latinos. But I don't think that we can do it by being passive. I don't think that we can cater to people. I think we need to help people to understand, listen, the American dream is still real if you want it. You can be part of the ignorant vote, part of the dummy vote, if you will, or you can elect to be something great, because this is what this exceptional nation offers. And so I do believe that we can do that. Things like Ferguson, Missouri, unfortunately, it's just a symptom of liberalism. This notion that there is no justice, and it's absolutely ridiculous. I'm sorry, when you have 70% of dads that aren't in the homes to love on their kids and to discipline their kids and be a role model to their kids, they're going to find that role model in the streets. That's just the way it is. And I'm a different beast in that I had a dad in the home and my mom, but my mom passed away when I was very young at the age of 11, and I didn't have a relationship with my dad, unfortunately. We didn't speak. So I started looking for affirmation in the streets, and that's where I got it. You know, I mean, you say I love my dad today and our relationship has changed, but it wasn't always that way. So dads in the home, male role models have a huge impact. So what you see in Ferguson, honestly, the uprising that you see is there's a lot of boys out there causing chaos because there's no men in the home to tell them to stop.
Right. And you've got, as you alluded to Obama before, you've got Obama here appointing this, I don't know what word to use, but this guy, Al Sharpton, as his race advisor. You've got Sharpton in the streets whenever anything happens, and he could get a name for himself. You've got this Jesse Jackson, another race hustler here. It's literally coming from the top, not even mentioning what Holder has done, how he's fanned the flames. When do you think that, I'm not saying that it's the blacks' fault.
Right.
I'm saying it's the whites' fault, because they're the majority here in this nation. When do you think the whites are going to wake up and say, you know what, I'm not going to pay attention to this guy or these people, and let's deal with this issue realistically and properly? When do you think that's going to happen?
I think it's happening now. I've spoken of on my show, black racism fatigue. I mean, we're getting to the point where racism is the boy that cried wolf. This is what's damaging. I mean, really, if you're going to obtain some level of justice, you have to be real. You have to be honest. You have to let the law, according to the facts, play the role. And we know race hustlers like Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, they're in this stuff for the notoriety. They're in it for the money. I do believe that if they don't repent, they have a heavy price to pay when they stand before God, quite honestly. But honestly, I think that as whites wake up, and I do believe that a lot of whites are, and start saying, no, we're not going to take this anymore. Now, it has to be done. This is what I would caution. It has to be done in the spirit of love. Because the tendency is, and as a black man, I'm tired of hearing racism every time I turn around. Because we no longer know what really is racist and what isn't. So we can't address anything properly because everything is being judged falsely.
Right. It's like anti-Semitism. It's the same thing.
Sure. Absolutely.
So you, I guess, taking the positions that you have and developing and evolving the way that you have, just like, for example, with anti-Semitism, if somebody says something nasty about or realistic about Israel or the Jews or whatever it might be, or the Jewish religion, they consider these Jews, if there was a Jew, to be a self-hating Jew. How do the blacks respond to what you teach and what you're doing?
I have a different philosophy. I believe that blacks that call me a sellout are the sellouts. So first off, I don't take it. I don't get into this. And I know a lot of black conservatives do it, and they're justified to do it. But, hey, I'm a sellout. I'm a Uncle Tom. They call me this. No, I'm a little more combative. That's just the spirit that God has given me. So, no, I'm not the sellout. You are. You're the one that's voting for the party of the KKK. You're the one that's voting for the party that didn't support civil rights legislation. You're the one that's voting for the party that are killing black babies. You're the one that's voting for the party that's keeping us in perpetual poverty. So I'm not the sellout. You're the sellout. Quite frankly, I feel like blacks that vote Democrats are sellouts, and I'm not afraid to say it.
Have you ever been approached by black folks or threatened?
I've had some threats in my email. I'm a guy that's up and rising, maybe in the future, but tell you the truth, I'm not concerned about it. I get little stuff here and there.
What do you get?
I've gotten some death threats. I've gotten some name calling. I get the dirty looks. I can tell you a particular story where I was taking my truck to be serviced, and there was a black gentleman that worked at the place in which I was taking it to be serviced, and he had the nastiest look on his face because I had bumper stickers that had Republican candidates here locally in Florida. And you could see the disgust. I mean, literally, it was palpable. You could see the disgust on this guy's face. But stuff like that, for me, is fun, because what I did to him was I walked up to him. I'm not that intimidated. I'm a guy that I know some level martial arts and stuff like that. I'm not that easily intimidated. So I walked up to the guy and I just spoke to him nicely. Hey, how you doing? I gave him these informational packets that I keep with me at times in my truck. And basically what it is a history of the Republican Party and civil rights legislation that has passed all the way back from Reconstruction forward. Actually, even prior to Reconstruction. So I told him, I said, hey, I noticed you were looking at me funny. And he was like, yeah, honestly, I was kind of shocked to see you with those bumper stickers. And I said, yeah, most blacks are. And I said, tell you what, let me leave you this card. And will you just read over these facts, black history, that I guarantee you, you've never been taught. And when I return to pick up my truck, will you just tell me what you think? He said, all right, I'll do that.
Right.
2 hours later, when I came back, the guy was in tears. Now, he said he had been teaching his 7-year-old son to hate white people, that white people can never be trusted, and to only trust Democrats. After he read that, he told me he would never say those words to his son again. Now, this only happened one time, granted, but this was huge. And I do believe that when you start confronting blacks, and I think black conservatives and white conservatives alike have to do this. Listen, I'm not a racist. You don't know what's in my heart. And you don't have the right to judge me based upon the sins of a man or men that lived 150 and 200 years ago. That's absolutely ludicrous. It's ridiculous. And if we're going to speak to the truth of the matter, America is the most blessed nation ever in history because we held, and I don't want to minimize it, but the fact of the matter is, I believe about 2 to 3% of the slave trade was in America. The bigger parts of the slave trade were in Portugal, Spain, and Africa. Huh? Latinos and blacks.
Right.
Who knew? Trading blacks numbers that far exceeded America. And we know that even in Saudi Arabia, blacks were in slavery up to, 50 or 60 years ago. It just attests to the fact that blacks just don't, we just don't know our history. We don't know information. We don't realize how exceptional America is because we never look at history in its proper context. Yeah, did America have some racist times? Yeah. But if we compare it to the rest of the world, America has always been far better than any society that has ever existed as far as economics, as far as opportunity, as far as race relations are concerned.
You're 100% right. It's always changing. That's why I think a lot of people are of the attitude that, hey, if you don't like it here, go back to Africa. See how you like it there.
Yeah, it's a harsh statement. It's hard to say. Even I'm cautious. That's a little harsh. But it is a fair point because the truth of the matter is you're not going to see black Americans ready to go back to Africa unless they're going there for vacation to stay in some hotel and experience Africa like the citizens don't have to. What you are going to see are Africans that want to cross our borders and get into our nation. So when you look at Jesse Jackson, when you look at Al Sharpton, my statements to people like them, and not to the general blacks, but to people like them would be, they go back to Africa, live the African life without the fame, without the fortune, and see how you do that.
Yeah, exactly. And you're talking about how blacks and whites, everybody really, there's no delineation here. Everybody is being fed the same crap by the mainstream media. And I get back to that because I really believe that it's the media who's responsible for the brainwashing. And if you look at the makeup of the media, If you look to see what they have in common, it's not too difficult to understand why that might be. So folks need to do that. They need to understand that people like Carl, that I have the opportunity here of speaking with today, are doing some great things. And if you think that, well, all blacks are idiots, obviously you're the idiot, because here's a guy who knows his stuff and he knows how to express himself. And you were right, Carl, when I said in the beginning of the interview that, well, I'm racist. That was a wrong word. Prejudiced is. And I am prejudiced against black thugs. I'm prejudiced against white thugs, as you said, prejudiced against any thug. I think the most important thing, really, when it comes down to it, in life, is life and living. The odds are against us for any one of us who have the great fortune of being here on planet Earth to actually exist. So why would you not want to respect not just your life, but everybody's life? And I guess a lot of it has to do with what you said, that over 70% of American blacks don't even have a father in the home anymore. And of course, that's directly tied to democratic policies of the welfare state. Something has to change. Maybe it is going to change. Who knows? I'm not a big positive person that there's going to be change. I think there's, unfortunately, I think there's going to be some pain before that ever happens. If it ever happens, like race wars,
right.
We leave the media to tell us what's going on. And now, I don't watch TV, and I haven't watched TV in over 23 years, Carl. I don't know if you watched. Well, when my first son was born, I said, well, I'm going to give something up. I couldn't imagine watching television instead of watching him grow up. So I said, that's done. And I'm glad I haven't. And if people want to watch TV, that's fine, but that was my choice. But what I was going to ask was, has the media at all, the mainstream media, have they at all given viewers and listeners the video clip of Michael Brown in that convenience store?
Man, you know, that is very good. No, that video did come after all the anguish had been riled up. I think it was perhaps a week or even two later, the video came out of Michael Brown in the convenience store. So this is true. This is a fair point, because I think this is what the left does and this is what the media does. But I would also add, and I'll continue with the media, but I'll also add that churches are complicit in this. I believe, honestly, that churches are the ones that will make the difference in the culture and not the media. I think the church could thrive despite the media if we would just start telling the truth in our churches. But yeah, going back to your point, I remember even with Trayvon Martin, the first time on a local news station that I had heard anything about Trayvon Martin, the story was reported that a white skinhead had shot a black teenager in the back in Sanford. I'm in Sanford at least once a week. I'm about a 10-minute drive, maybe 15-minute drive away from Sanford. So when I heard this, I was just shook to my core, quite honestly. And I sat there and I thought, and I kid you not, Dave, for a second, I sat down and I just whispered to God, God, am I wrong? Is there more racism here than I'm willing to admit? Am I so ideologically bent that I'm unwilling to see some truths when it comes to racism? And in some cases, that might be true, but it wasn't in Trayvon Martin case, because as we know, George Zimmerman, I saw pictures of his grandparents. I was able to interview his brother. His grandparents are black, for God's sake.
Yeah.
The guy was helping black people learn how to read. A homeless man was, if I recall the story, was beat by police officers in Sanford. George Zimmerman led the charge against the white cops that beat the black, and yet this guy was portrayed as this white skinhead racist. And all I can remember, Dave, is having seen the picture, it was approximately 2 weeks later, I believe, and all of a sudden I got enraged because I saw his picture and I said, literally, these were my words out loud, this fool ain't white. And I looked at him and I thought he was Mexican, to be quite honest. A lot of Puerto Ricans here in Orlando, but in LA, a lot of Mexicans. So he looked more Mexican to me and I was like, he's Mexican. So I knew right away what the media was doing. They were driving this narrative. And then it hit me. Of course they are. It's an election year. President Obama's numbers are down. It seemed as though Republicans were catching some wind in some cases anyway. And obviously you need the black vote. You need to make sure that the black vote shows up every 2 years. So what do? You stroke the flames of racism. And unfortunately, blacks fall for it. But I do believe that, hey, man, yeah, the media, yeah, they're a problem. But I would go as far as to say that churches in America are the bigger problem. Because once we can convince churches, whether they be black, white, Hispanic, whatever, to preach the Bible, to preach the gospel, to preach that you find value in God and who He created you to be, rather than who government dictates you be. If our pulpits can convince people that your purpose is found in life and there's a creator that created you for a purpose, If blacks, Latinos alike, whites, get that message, then we won't need government. Because the problem with the black community wasn't the media initially. I mean, the black families broke. That wasn't the media's doing. That was a direct result of blacks choosing government over their God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, that's why the odds of that happening are very low, and because the government knows that. If people start to understand that, then they're not going to need the government, as you said, and that's why I guess a lot of these churches and religious organizations are infiltrated by the government to make sure that that never happens.
Yeah, that is true. And, you know, the sad fact is, I still believe that it's whites wake up, it's Latinos wake up. I had an opportunity to listen to an interview by Pastor Rafael Cruz, the father of Senator Ted Cruz, and he's going out and speaking like crazy, and he's waking churches up. And I think we saw the results of that here in Florida, and I think it's happening. So slowly but surely, I think it'll happen. Unfortunately, if my race doesn't wake up, we'll be left in the dust. As I've already said, we're being killed off faster than any race in American history, and it's not the slave master's doing, it's our doing. I mean, we're going to the abortion clinics, we're following the Democrat Party down the cliff, we're willing to buy into their mantra that we're nothing, so we need them. So as a result, we don't progress, unfortunately, in society. So it's of our own doing, and like I said, blacks will be left in the dust, and Latinos will be the new Negro vote. That's just the way that it's going to be. But I do believe that we can save some, and that's my goal.
Mm-hmm. I interviewed a black university professor who had written a book. It was called Is Marriage for White People? And it discussed the dwindling numbers of blacks getting married, choosing marriage. I don't know if you heard of that book.
No, but I would love to get my hands on it.
What he said was that besides presenting the numbers, what happens is that, see, it's not just the blacks. The facts of the matter are, as far as blacks not getting married or blacks listening to rap, the facts of the matter are that whites always follow the blacks.
Wow.
Yes. So the blacks are in the vanguard when it comes to these societal issues. They're not getting married. The whites aren't too far behind them. So it's not just the blacks doing what we're talking about, what you're saying. The whites are right behind them, and they're going to follow them. And for whatever reason that is, I think it's fascinating.
Very valid point. I mean, we can see that in the hip-hop culture. I'm always amazed at how many white kids I'll see, even back in the day, bumping N.W.A., Ice Cube, and all of these guys. And to this day, I don't, except for Christian rap, I don't listen to rap music anymore because it was one of the things that kept me angry. And I can honestly say this notion that music doesn't influence your thinking is just nonsense, because all I did was listen to Tupac religiously, N.W.A., Ice Cube, all those guys, and I was constantly ready for a fight. And that was my mentality back in the day. But that is a very interesting point, and I could say that it makes sense if you just look at the numbers from the late 60s to early 70s when blacks started aborting marriage, if you will, like nobody's business, and just how quickly it happened. So I guess that makes sense. So in a sense, I guess blacks are even more responsible, not only for our demise, but could be responsible for America's demise, in a sense, or partially to blame. You know, hopefully America doesn't totally fall off the map. But there's no doubt about it that this president has done a lot of damage to America and to blacks. So, but I look forward to getting that interview from you. I'd love to hear that.
Yes, I'll pop that over to you. Carl Jackson, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners today. And thank you for doing what you're doing. And thank you for being such a smart guy who's not afraid to tell the truth, not afraid to wake people up. And I'll tell you, that was a terrific story about that fella in the auto repair shop. And I hope you have more of them in the future. And I'm looking forward to talking to you real soon.
Dave, I really appreciate it, man, and I appreciate people like you that are willing to give me a voice. You know, sometimes as a black conservative, I think it's hard for people. Let me put it this way. There's not enough people, white people, that have the courage that you do to go ahead and make this interview happen. And I think it's important, at the risk of sounding controversial, white conservatives need to use black conservatives effectively. I hate the whole concept of being the quote-unquote black conservative, but listen, man, at times when I feel like it's going to help my country, at times when I feel like it's going to help my people, help my God, I want to be used for whatever he feels necessary.
You're a great American, Carl. That's obvious. Thanks again, sir.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it. God bless you, man.